Welcome to Bruderhof Radio, a bi-monthly program broadening the bounds of discourse on progressive thought and action. I'm your host, Andrew Zimmerman. This week on Bruderhof Radio...
They say kids are the future, but it's not the future, it's the present right now. We can do something right now.
One thing I thought was pretty cool was learning about the cultures and religions of countries I'd never known anything about before.
I think the kids are going to see that we all can work together, no matter where you're from, what color you are, and what nation you come from.
If children can get along, maybe one day adults can too. Armed with this positive attitude, the children of the New Meadowrun Bruderhof community in western Pennsylvania conceived and carried out Children's Crusade 2000 from August 10th to August 13th. The first Children's Crusade sponsored by the Bruderhof communities was a three-day march against the death penalty in 1997. Children's Crusade 2000, however, extended the boundaries of the fight against death and violence into a celebration of life by kids from all over the world. For the 1,200 people who attended, the event will be hard to forget. After all, it's not every day that children from 43 nations are brought together simply to enjoy one another's friendship. For 3 days in mid-August, hundreds of children worked, played, danced, and sang together, reaching across adult boundaries and sharing cultures. While special guests such as former boxer Reuben Hurricane Carter, renowned folk singer Pete Seeger, and anti-death penalty activist Helen Prejean did attend the event, the focus was on nurturing interaction between children of different nationalities and ethnicities. Children came from all over the world to make new friends and develop relationships that they will foster long after they return home. Most Children's Crusade attendees were either children or adults who spend their lives caring for, working for, and sacrificing for children. Bruderhof Radio spoke with both children and adults at Children's Crusade 2000 to gain their insights into the purpose of the weekend event and learn of the power of children in a world seemingly dominated by uncaring adults. Layla Mahik, a Bosnian teenager who has lived in Pittsburgh for the past 2 years, spoke with us about the basic premise of the weekend.
What do you think can happen from a weekend like this of getting kids from all different countries together? What do you think could be some of the positive results of an event like this?
I think what some of these kids went through, seeing all the differences between nations, the fighting between religious fighting, which is pathetic. I think the kids are going to see that we all can work together, no matter where you're from, what color you are, and what nation you come from. All of these kids are mixed in here, and they're all, like you can see, they're all working together. I think it's going to show them that if we really want to, we can, you know, work it out together without fighting, without, you know, differences. Because there's a lot more that we have in common than we don't have in common, you know.
Bishwat Rimal of Nepal currently lives in New York City. He voiced a common refrain heard often during the weekend, the idea that children who make friends now will hopefully be less inclined to violent means of conflict resolution when they become adults.
Yeah, because different nations, people from different nations come together when they're kids. They're going to remember this when they grow up. So if they eventually have some, like, important jobs in their countries, they'll probably be more, like, friendly to other nations. I mean, yeah, like, there wouldn't be so much wars, maybe, because of this. They know other people from other nations. They wouldn't think so bad about them.
Throughout the weekend, cultural workshops provided hands-on learning about other nations. Representatives from Cuba, Tibet, Bosnia, and Haiti held song and dance workshops, and with a little encouragement, bystanders were soon participants. Larry Quick, who works with disadvantaged youth in the housing projects of Washington, D.C., brought a vanload of boys and young men with the intent of broadening their horizons.
One of the main ideas behind this weekend is that bringing kids together of different cultures, different languages, different backgrounds will then, you know, help forge and create friendships that can grow and perhaps start solving some of the many problems we have in the world that mainly arise from, you know, people of different races, different nationalities who don't understand, you know, the person on the other side of the border. Do you see that happening? Is that possible? Can something like that occur, you know, as a result of a weekend like this?
Yeah, I definitely see that happening. I mean, you know, where we live, the area we live, there's just African Americans there, and And when you live in public housing, a lot of times kids don't really get out. Now, they may go on school trips. They may schedule school trips at school. But when kids get school trips, they think they don't have to go to school. So they don't show up. So they never get any exposure. And then you watch TV, you may see just white people on TV. But to have a family here that you're a part of and they accept you in your own family seems like it doesn't even accept you. I mean, it gets you thinking, like, wow, people are just nice. It doesn't matter your skin color. And then the folks here with the different languages and the different cultures, it teaches our boys that there's a world bigger than public housing. It's a big world out here. Just go at it and see it. Don't stay connected to your street and your block and in your neighborhood. It's a whole world out here, and there's people out here. There's some good people and bad people. It doesn't matter, you know, what color you are. It's a whole world out here. Just go dive in it.
By the end of the weekend, Maurice Kai and Andrew Witcher, who came from Washington, D.C. with Larry Quick, seemed to have attained the new vision that Quick had hoped for.
Well, I learned that there's a lot of people struggling, not just here in the United States, everywhere, and that the whole world just needs to change.
What I learned was you don't judge people how they look. Just be normal. Just act like yourself.
I think that if more kids get together, the next generation will just be all positive.
Differences in language, skin color, and religion, which adults often consider barriers, did not seem to hinder Children's Crusade attendees as they worked together in a so-called peace park. A plot of woodland dotted with small clearings connected by trails, the park provided a place where children could interact creatively. At one campsite, kids from El Salvador, Cuba, and Tibet worked together on a monument built of moss, sticks, and colored rocks. At another site, children built a bridge across a small stream. Such examples of cooperation were heartwarming to Sundiata Sadiq, a community organizer from New York, who attended the conference to see how children could succeed in forging peace, a task at which adults often fail.
To me, it was kind of hard to think of somebody pulling off a children's crusade with the type of logistics they were talking about and bringing people here from all over the world. And basically, I wanted to come as an adult to see, you know, people instilling in youth this whole thing about peace and, you know, working together and eliminating warfare, that type of thing. And I'm very impressed at what I see, you know, because it's like an investment in youth. And for me, you know, like, I'm staying in a house and I'm not bombarded with a lot of, like, noise and MTV and stuff that would pollute my mind. And, you know, right now the kids are out in the woods and the peace camps and stuff, man, and working with each other, black, white, red, and yellow. This is so heavy, man, like it should be on national news, you know. And if this can be transferred, and because I'm sure the rest of the world is based on these, the type of economic system that you know, like capitalism, imperialism, and so the lifestyles of the kids reflect that. So when they come into this community and when they're here on a children's crusade, it's a new type of atmosphere. It's a new type of peacefulness and working in harmony, brother. So, you know, those people who would be at war today with each other, you know, are probably here in this camp. And, like, you know, it's when they take this thing back home, man, you know, whatever the powers that be to try to inject in their minds about this one being the enemy, the Irish Catholics being the enemy, or the Tibetans being the enemy, somebody can stand up and say no. Because, you know, like, when I was a young kid, you know, I was at in Pennsylvania, and that's not true, you know. So this is pretty heavy, you know, for me.
In addition to sizable youth groups from nations like Haiti, the United Kingdom, Nepal, and Tibet, and cities such as New York and Washington, D.C., another significant contingent came from Cuba. Their lively singing and dancing had the crowd on its feet a number of times throughout the weekend. Alex Grant, a Costa Rican who works with Cuban youth in Havana, spoke with us about his group, called Generation with a Purpose, and how they managed to attend the Children's Crusade in spite of considerable odds.
Generation with a Purpose is a program of the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Havana, which is sort of a dual organization with the Martin Luther King Center, the Martin Luther King Memorial Center, that Reverend Raul Suarez, a Baptist minister and a member of the Cuban Parliament, directs. It's an interdenominational group of children ranging from ages 8 through 20 or 22, and they basically share the gospel of Jesus Christ through dance and song.
Now, coming from Cuba with a group of children, I'm wondering what kind of obstacles you had to cross to get here. Obviously, the United States has an embargo on Cuba, and relations with the two countries are strained at best. How was it trying to get, what is it, 15 or 20 kids up here for this weekend?
Yeah, there were about, actually, we had planned to bring 23 of the group members. There are a total of 30, and plus two staff members. And two of our members were not granted visas to come because they were older members, workers, and considered more likely to stay or to defect from Cuba. So the U.S. Intersection office in Havana denied their visas. The whole process of traveling out of Cuba is very cumbersome. So this was the whole process of visa application. Many of these kids had no passports because they had never traveled outside of the island. So that took a couple of months in advance to this event in order to pull all these things together. Also, in the light of the recent Elian Gonzalez situation, we wanted to be extremely careful to ensure that the parents were informed and legally granted us permission to travel with their children, because some of the children have parents who are divorced or relatives that live here in the U.S., and we wanted to make sure that they will help us, their parents will help us to better ensure that the kids will come safely here, maybe be able to visit with some of their relatives, whether it was over the phone or have some of their relatives show up here in Farmington and in Woodcrest in New York, but still allow us to accompany their children at all times just to avoid any difficult circumstances and to ensure that the kids will go back.
All the world will hear. Love in every language, fluently spoken here. No se entienden los gobiernos, separado el mundo está. No interpretemos mal el lenguaje.
Well-known Irish folk singer Tommy Sands also attended the event. In Ireland, he works tirelessly to promote peace between Catholics and Protestants, and came to the Children's Crusade to see how children can lead the way to reconciliation.
Sometimes when we grow older, we're burdened down with all sorts of bags of stones on our backs. Being hurt, we become cynical, we become closed. And we don't have the power that a child would have. Because the child has not been burdened down by that poison. And I think, in a way, except that we can become like children, we can't even solve our own problems, never mind anyone else's problems. I mean, like children in the sense of having that sense of innocence and openness. And before you can sing a song, before you can perform to an audience, you really must be able to put out your arms and embrace that whole audience to make it real. I mean, maybe there's different types of music where you turn your back on the audience, but that's not really. That's a different thing. It's got nothing to do with the spirit of music. So I think the children are so important to adults, because on inside every child's head, an adult is slowly growing. And they have to keep an eye on them.
That's a wonder, stronger than the guns of thunder. Even when we're torn asunder, love will come again.
Later on in the weekend, I spoke further with Larry Quick and his wife Mary about their work in Washington, D.C. The Quicks run a program called Life Pieces to Masterpieces. They, like most other adult participants at the Children's Crusade, have dedicated their lives to the children around them, often at great personal sacrifice. At the Children's Crusade, social workers and educators like the Quicks were able to network with each other and discuss their work. In a world that is increasingly hostile and threatening to children, it is such people who provide much-needed love to hurting children.
Life Pieces to Masterpieces, and we take life experiences and turn them into masterpieces, but our purpose is to provide opportunities for African-American males ages 3 to 21, growing up in low-income and public housing, to discover and activate their abilities to transform challenges into possibilities. That's basically what we do.
So you guys are basically doing art workshops and teaching these kids how to express themselves and things like that. Can you give me some examples of the stuff that the kids do to work through and make these decisions?
The artwork that we do are acrylic paintings that are sewn together with a sewing machine. And we take like the broken pieces of our lives, like which are experiences, and transform them into turning them into something positive by putting the paintings together. It's like taking a lesson or an experience that has taken place. And once you constantly see it on the wall, you're actually learning from that experience. It's a constant reminder of not to repeat it.
So what prompted you to start this? How did you first get the idea to take these kids and help them express themselves through this artwork?
Well, their lives mirrored mine, and I grew up the same exact way. And there were a lot of things that took place in my life growing up, and it was a shame to see that nothing has changed since then while they're growing up. And you know, it was something that I had to do. I had, because there were some things that were holding me back. Some unanswered questions, some things that needed some fixing. And actually, they helped me fix them by helping them with their lives.
During school, we have family and education advocates that go into the schools. You need to have a lot of support, especially in D.C. public school systems. A number of our boys have been placed in special education classes, but the only problem was that they couldn't read, and we determined that through interacting with them and drumming and art. We've determined that, you know what, if these children could read, they don't need to be in these special ed classes. So during the day, we have family and education advocates that's in the schools to ensure that the children are getting the support they need in schools, and then we also visit the homes to see what support maybe the mom needs. Almost all of our boys live in single-parent homes, just mothers. Many of whom are unemployed and deal with illiteracy and other challenges. And then the boys come to us after school. They come to us after school, and we work with them in terms of their homework, literacy development, technology. We expose them to another world, different languages. They create artwork. They play chess, go bowling. Just the things that children should experience instead of a lot of the death and the drugs and the substance abuse that they see every day.
So in many ways, your organization is providing a family that these boys don't have in real life.
When Larry and I were married, he says, okay, well, what I'm doing is creating my own family, because I guess he kind of felt he really had to recreate family for himself. So our boys have become our family, and we've become their family. So we've kind of rewombing, I guess. We've taken them in, and we nurture them, and hopefully they're a little stronger when they have to go out.
In America today,
because her life is hurting,
there are hundreds of children who are dying. America, you are losing your most valuable resource. You are losing your very own children. What about your children?
The changed lives of the young men they work with are a testimony to the dedication and perseverance of the Quicks.
Not only do we notice the change, but what's so unique is everybody around them notices the change, from teachers to their family members. And actually, that's how we get most of our publicity, because folks that know these young men are calling folks and telling them about how this young man has changed, and we want to know more about the program. So just by them improving their lives and actually living their lives, rather than only living their lives a certain way around us and then switch up when they get out in the street. No, by them just staying focused and staying disciplined and living their lives correctly from everything we share with them, that's how the program gets stronger. That's what gets people to want to know more about the program, from how they're changing.
In a continuation of the life-affirming spirit that pervaded the weekend, Children's Crusade 2000 culminated with a vigil at Pennsylvania's Death Row to protest capital punishment. But this was no ordinary anti-death penalty rally. Rather than chanting the negative slogans so often heard at such events, the children kept to simple, joyous singing and released white doves and thousands of balloons to symbolize their freedom of spirit. Outside the prison walls, Helen Prejean, the author of Dead Man Walking and normally a celebrity on the anti-death penalty circuit, acknowledged that her work against the death penalty and other conference attendees' work for children are just parts of a far-reaching and unifying struggle against death and for life.
We're at a prime time, I think, in the United States where the American public is beginning to be aware that innocent people can go to death row along with the guilty. Because for a long time, people just haven't understood how the death penalty really worked, and that there's basic decency and fairness in people. No American citizen wants to see innocent people executed with guilty. And of course, our major moral point is that guilty people, who even those who have done terrible crimes, should not be subjected to torture and to violence. Because then as a government and as a people, we get involved in the very violence that we're trying to teach our children we don't want to have for each other. So the presence of the voices of the children here today is very important. You got 48 countries represented, and the children from different races and backgrounds, from Germany to Haiti to, you know, to Tibet, to, from all over the world, are calling us as a community to say no more violence. And that includes sanctioning violence in the death penalty, which is so present in our country at this point. So I'm very delighted and honored to be a small part of this, and it's been a beautiful experience.
So you think the voices of the children are perhaps more powerful than, say, the rhetoric of adults speaking against the death penalty? You'd say the actions of the children is more powerful?
Yes, because children have a purity. They don't know about using political euphemisms. They don't know how to be political. All they know is that they're going to speak the truth from their hearts of what they see, and they represent life. They represent the future. And so they know it's wrong for us to kill people, and so their voices are especially important to us.
At the end of the weekend, Alex Grant of Cuba expressed what was on the minds of most other Children's Crusade participants. He told us that the idea of children learning to make peace and then teaching adults the same was not at all far-fetched, but rather had been proved possible by the weekend's events.
I will hope that as a result of this international gathering of children and of families as well, that we will all be so impacted and influenced by the interactions and the new friendships, the new relationships, that our whole vision of the world will be transformed, that we as individuals will begin to experience change within ourselves as we think of those nations that were represented here, and as we hear them in the news, and as life goes on, that our whole focus, our whole frame of mind will change in such a way that we might begin to believe, first of all, that the kind of peaceful relationships that we've experienced here can actually become a part of our daily lives. And if that is the case, then that we might be able to take more action and be more intentional about making that a reality as these kids grow older and become greater decision makers in their countries, that they will be able to always look back on this experience and say, I do remember going to this summer gathering of children and you know, interacting with other children from other countries that I have never visited, but that I visited through them. And in spite of our language barriers and cultural barriers, there were a lot more bridging qualities and a lot more similarities between us that made me think that maybe this world isn't as big as I thought, and we can work together and play together, sing together, dance together, and ultimately live together.
Separado el mundo está, no interpretemos mal el lenguaje del amor. Profanity language, straight from the heart.
That's all for this edition of Bruderhof Radio. This program was produced by Andrew Zimmerman, with production assistance from Ian Bart and additional reporting by Tim Whipp, Jr. In conjunction with the Children's Crusade, the Bruderhof's Plow Publishing released a new book entitled Endangered, Your Child in a Hostile World, a guide for parents and educators. This new volume offers hope for a more child-centered society. To contact Plow Publishing, call 1-800-521-8011. Again, that's Plow Publishing at 1-800-521-8011. Bruderhof Radio is a production of the Bruderhof Communities, a communal movement based on Christ's Sermon on the Mount, in particular the teachings concerning brotherly love and love of enemies, mutual service, nonviolence, and the refusal to bear arms. Money and possessions are pooled voluntarily, and in turn, each member is provided for and cared for. For more information about the Bruderhof Communities and Bruderhof Radio, call 1-800-778-8461. Again, that's 1-800-778-8461.